The information discussed on this show is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content is for general informational purposes only.
It's Guy's Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guy's Guy's Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about practical alchemy. And our special guest is J.J. Stenhouse, who I'll be bringing on shortly, who is living right now up in a fishing village in northern Scotland. J.J. was a hard-bitten journalist for many years and then made the change on her life. She wanted to change the world, and of course, she started working on herself first. She had some gifts that had been developed over the years in terms of empathic gifts, being an intuitive, being somewhat psychic, and she decided to follow that path. So she is what's called the practical alchemist, and we're going to get into all of that with her. What is practical alchemy, you might ask yourself? Well, typically we think of alchemy as it's a transformation of a base metal into gold. And in this case, we're going to talk about transforming our mundane lives, for the most part, into something more connected to the divine and all the possibilities that come with it. Because given the right environment and left to our own devices, we can flourish physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But sometimes we have to start at the very beginning and we have to be very practical about it. So we have to go inside, we have to ask ourselves who we are, what we can offer. We have to be honest with ourselves because, let's face it, folks, everybody makes a lot of mistakes. And instead of just making the same mistakes over and over again and hoping for a different outcome, as Einstein said, it's not going to happen. So we have to take a fresh approach. And I think that's where practical alchemy is such an important concept to consider. And working with somebody like JJ could be incredibly helpful. So I'm so glad she's on the show today. And we're going to get into the importance of nature, the importance of eating right, the importance of thinking right, the importance of your body, mind, and spirit in making that transformation to become the best version of yourself. Listen, the world is crazy right now. It's almost out of control, and everybody wants to change the world in a positive way. There's so much division. People want to come together. I noticed from just the holidays and all that, people are really entrenched in their ideas. There's a lot of bitterness. Here in the States, we've had an election, and people are pointing fingers at one another. But we have to understand that other people can have other points of view. So we're going to get into practical alchemy right here on Guys Guys Radio today. And I think you're really going to enjoy our discussion because I think it can be a big help.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to introduce a new guest to Guys Guys Radio, a fellow UK Health Radio presenter by the name of J.J. Stenhouse, or The Practical Alchemist. She's got a show on UK Health Radio called Alchemy 1.01, The Practical Alchemist, best-selling author, one-time anchor and correspondent for ITN, NBC, and SABC. She's written and edited for national newspapers, digital media, and magazines. And today we're going to talk about practical alchemy, and we're going to talk about community and the importance of it in our digitized, digital, separation-based world that we live in the Western part of our globe, if you will. And I think it's very important stuff. So welcome with me, J.J. Stenhouse, to Guys Guys Radio. How are you, J.J.?
Oh, thank you. That's a great introduction. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'd forgotten about all that stuff, you know, all these things that I did in the past. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Well, my pleasure. And you're coming to us from Scotland today. Tell everybody where you are in Scotland. You told me right before the show, and it was so fascinating. I think it's important because I took a business trip to Scotland, and all I saw was beautiful Edinburgh and Glasgow, which is kind of the big urban city there. And we drove from one city to the other, and you reminded me that, you know, you just got the tip of the iceberg, if you will. It's a gorgeous country, and you're in a fishing village?
I am. I'm in a fishing village called Pittenweem. And that's a bit of a weird name, I know, but it's a mashup of two languages, actually. It's a mashup of Scottish Gaelic and Pictish. The Picts were the tribes that lived on the east coast of Scotland, pretty much, kind of, way back in the depths of history. And then, of course, Gaelic, which was mostly spoken on the west coast because of the people that came over from Ireland to live in Scotland. And it means place of the cave. And that cave in question is the cave of St. Fillan, who was a 7th century monk, I think, and who lived in that cave underneath a priory here. Very historic village, fishing village, one of the only fishing villages left on this part of the coast, where we catch lobster and langoustine and all kinds of good things. And we also have the reputation of being the location of one of the last witch trials in Scotland, which is a bit more of a grim part of our history.
And you're in St. Andrews area, where it is pretty much the birthplace in many ways considered of golf, and the links course is out there.
Absolutely. There are about 5 courses at St. Andrews, not just the Royal and Ancient course, which everybody knows. But St. Andrews is the birthplace of golf, and you can't move in this region for golf courses. I think you can play a different golf course every week of the year in this small region of Scotland. We're the smallest region in Scotland, Fife. And every village and town, it seems, almost has a golf course. And a lot of them are links courses. So the whole coast of Fife is really joined by, you know, you can sort of walk from one links course to the next all the way around the coast almost. That's a slight exaggeration, but not much.
Well, it's a beautiful country. I enjoyed my time there. Short period of time, we were pitching. I was in advertising at the time. We were pitching the Doer's account. I learned a lot about the differences and how the kind of presumptions that we have about different places. For instance, I thought that single malt was where things were at for Scotch, and it turns out there's more of an art to the blending. So a kind of a mixed Scotch is considered more higher end in Scotland. And also when we went to the pubs, I noticed people weren't drinking Scotch. And if they did, they just had a little wee bit in a glass, and we would drink a big tumbler here. And a lot of people were drinking, I know this is weird, they were drinking Bacardi Breezers and sweet drinks like that. And I was like very surprised in Glasgow and in Edinburgh. I was like, wow, yeah. I didn't expect this. But, you know, that's just how it is. So we learn something new every day. But I want to talk about you, JJ. First of all, I think to introduce you to our audience, how did you kind of pick up your practical alchemy? What's your training? How long have you been doing this? When you were, did you grow into this? Were you in business and then you migrated into and transformed yourself into this? Or what's your kind of backstory?
Okay, well, how long you got? You touched on a little bit of my backstory in the introduction. I did work as a journalist for many years in TV, radio, newspapers, magazines. And, but at the same time, I, since childhood, was able to work with energy. I was always able to work with people's and animals' energies to help them remove pain and get over issues that they might have within their body. So I've always had that going on with me and was always, I would guess you'd call it psychic. I used to see ghosts when I was a child, when we, you know, lived a little bit along the coast here. And I always say that luckily, because we're much more attuned to that kind of thing in Scotland, nobody told me not to be so silly. And so I never really got rid of that, you know, because I think for a lot of kids have that ability, but they're socialized out of it. And they're told, you know, that's not real, that's your imagination. And so they believe it. Nobody said that to me. In fact, my parents both had abilities, which they didn't really talk about, but they had them. And so I grew up being clairvoyant, audient, clairsentient, all of these things. I went into journalism. I lived a double life in that sense, in that I was being this hard-bitten reporter one minute and then this kind of, you know, energy worker the next. Of course, I am a Gemini, so, you know, easy done. There's two of me. In fact, I'm a quadruple Gemini, so, you know, four of me.
Did that pull on you when you were doing that? Because that's where I was kind of going to go with my next question as to how was it being an energy worker as well as somebody who was, you know, has these gifts that are, we all have those gifts, but your gifts were more developed.
Right. So it became intolerable in the end. I mean, after I stayed in the news business and current affairs business for a long time, but it did eventually become intolerable. It was making me sick and I had to move away, and I started doing coaching and training. But meanwhile, I had also been learning different forms of energy healing, different forms of energy working. I've been given master attunements in about three or four different types of Reiki, for instance. And then I learned other things. And then discovered that Reiki was not what I do intuitively. So I was intuitively able to work with people's energies. And so eventually something had to go. And, you know, in tune with all of that, or alongside all of this as well, I haven't, since the age of about my early 20s, I haven't been able to take any pharmaceutical because I would be, you know, developing allergic symptoms like nettle rash and swollen hands and face and that sort of thing. Anything, any over-the-counter medicine, apart from aspirin. Aspirin was the only thing that I could take. And so I developed an interest in natural healing methods like herbs, herbal remedies, natural remedies. And so since my 20s as a journalist, I've been researching natural remedies and using them. And then, of course, an organic food, organic living, sustainable living. All of these things I've been researching, living for decades. I'm actually quite old now. I'll be 70 next birthday. So, you know, I've been doing this for a long, long time. And I just got to the point where, having left the journalism behind and having left the coaching behind, you know, the media and communication skills coaching. So I did things like I went on to learn NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which helped me with that, but it also helped me with understanding the psyche, understanding psychology and the psychology of communication, and then the therapeutic aspects of that. And I went on to do a lot more in that realm. So I brought all of these things together and, you know, from everything that I've learned over my life, decided it's time for me to start putting that out there and helping other people and spreading some of that wisdom. And I talk at the top of my show on UK Health Radio. Every time I introduce it, I talk about living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. And again, that's, you know, me talking from experience, having had to learn to get back to me after living a double life for all that time.
Now, how do you work with people? You have your platform, you get your message out there and you teach people, but do you work one-on-one? Do you have clients?
I do, yes. I don't have that many. I don't work that much with one-on-one clients, partly because it takes up a lot of time. But, you know, if somebody does want to work with me, I do, yeah. And I'll work with them remotely. I can work with anybody remotely. You know, in the quantum field, we're all one. It doesn't matter where you are. I can tune in to somebody and work with them, yeah, very easily remotely. I will be developing some programs for people to join so that I can get to more people. I've got to get that sorted out. I have run a couple of programs on, you know, the whole kind of practical alchemy, how to really clear your being on all levels, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and mentally, and also your environment and, you know, what you eat. So looking at all the different aspects of what and how we consume, and what we put out into the world.
Okay, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio, JJ Stenhouse, a host of The Practical Alchemist on UK Health Radio and a lot more. So what's your sense as to what's going on in the world today and what do we need to be aware of?
Well, I think one of the big issues right now is we are facing a lot of change. There's a lot of change coming. And some people would say that a lot of society is breaking down. And you can see that looking around, not to mention governments and you know, all the old structures of how society's been held together, they're kind of crumbling. The most important thing, I think, is for us to not get spooked by the fact that everything's falling down around our ears, it would seem, but to focus on where we are and our community. And it starts with our community locally. So, you know, we can't do everything alone. And if we're going to build a world which we would prefer to see, a world that we want to see, we do that together. A lot of people talk about oneness, and I do wonder whether people, or what people mean by oneness. You know, we are one. We don't need to achieve oneness. We are all part of the same. But here's the thing. Community, I think, has been eroded hugely. So much so that, you know, you find people who are homeless. You know, in here in the UK, the government stopped winter fuel payments to help old people during winter to stay warm. So now we've got a whole raft of older people here in the UK who are going to be really cold this winter and might need some help. So, you know, what I'd love is for people to make sure that people in their street are able to keep warm, feed themselves, look after themselves, not just around winter time, but all through the year. Let's come together as communities and let's create the communities that we want to see.
Do you think, JJ, that the idea of kind of the separateness that we've been experiencing, particularly over the last 5 years, you had the shutdowns, then you had there's so much digitalization of how we live and we work from home, and there's when I was in New York, New Yorkers are either going to be friendly or they're not going to be friendly. But I notice I live in California now, and there isn't a sense. There's not a sense of community. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing. Everybody's in a little bubble, and you know, you might say hello to your neighbor and this and that, but you really don't get to know. My experience has been so far at 5 years, you really don't get to know people very well. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing, and I'm wondering. It feels to me that it's by design to keep us separate. And I think it's all the more important that we need to start exchanging ideas and coming together. And, you know, even now, like everybody's got their own podcast, and I don't think it's necessary for everybody to have a podcast. You've been doing it for a while. I've been doing it for a while. Hooray for us. But now everybody's got a little platform out there. And I guess in one way, it's good because everybody's exchanging more ideas. And the other thing is to me, there's like too many experts out there now, and some of these folks aren't experts. What's your sense?
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And you know, and I sometimes think, who wants actually? You know, what am I doing? What am I actually? What we should be doing is doing in a way. You know, we should be just looking to our. I keep saying community, but what's around us? Who is around us? Because and one of the things I've loved about moving into this village is that this is a place where we actually have a traditional fishing village community. And people ask me, you know, are you enjoying living there? You know, what's it like living there? I absolutely love it. You know why? Because everybody knows you. Mm-hmm. Now, there are pros and cons of that, right? They know what you're doing. They know where you are. They know where to find you. But hey, they know what you're doing. They know where you are and they know where to find you. My car wasn't around for a while. I had people saying to me, oh, you're okay. Are you okay? Because I noticed your car wasn't outside the house, you know? Well, I thought you might be away, but then I thought, oh, I hope she's all right, you know. But that's great, right? That's good, I think, that people are concerned enough, because you hear so many tragic stories of people who just are so alone, don't have anybody looking out for them. It's tragic. But if we could recreate the kind of community that villages like this have, what we always used to have before we, you know, built these massive cities and urban sprawls like you have in California, where nobody walks, right? Exactly. I remember being in Los Angeles once and trying to walk somewhere and everybody, yeah, exactly. Exactly, right? So I go to the village shop and it, you know, maybe it's a trip that would take me 20 minutes, 5 minutes there, 10 minutes in the shop, 5 minutes back. Usually takes me about an hour at least, because I will meet people and have a chat and say, how are you? How are you doing? What are you doing? You know, are you okay? There's an old guy just along the street from me here, and I'll be making sure that he's okay this winter. I am making sure that he's okay this winter. Last winter, I didn't realize that he was ill. If I'd known, I'd have been round there with some food, making sure that, you know, he had enough in his fridge and freezer that he could eat, you know, make some meals for him. And I was horrified when I found out. And so now I have his phone number and I can text him and, you know, or if I don't see him, say, are you okay? Mm-hmm. That's what we need to get back to.
Let's talk.
There's a lot of distrust, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Everybody's got their shields up. And now, you know, I think a lot of it is because a lot of the institutions that people believed in, they're starting to like question them. And it's very disappointing for, you know, particularly for boomers, that like they put so much stock, so much psychic energy into believing in certain institutions, and they're seeing like, well, what are they doing now? And I think that's upsetting a lot of people. And there's some people who are being open, which I think is a really good thing. And there are other people who are putting their hands over their ears and their eyes. They just don't want to know. They want it. They figured, I got mine and this is what I want to know. And I don't want to be encumbered by what may be new ways of thinking, or the fact that maybe so many things I've been told or taught, maybe they're not as true as I thought they were. And it's very upsetting to a lot of people, in turn, takes them out of their comfort zone. As part of that, what I want to ask you is the practical alchemist and what you call safe haven healing. Talk to us about what that is and how that works, how that's different than other modalities. You've created something very unique.
Well, practical alchemy is, as I said, looking at every single aspect of your life and looking at how you can live in line with nature, but true to your nature. We are all one, but we're individuations of the oneness, or, you know, this system that we all live in. And so that is looking at every aspect of your life and understanding that your body is a system, and that I always call it the system, actually. And when I'm working on somebody, with somebody, it's their system I'm working with. And safe haven healing, I don't really like the word healing, but it's what people understand. And safe haven healing is called that because all I do now is create the safe space, the safe container, where somebody can find it within themselves to heal themselves. So think of it as some people have maybe experienced flotation tanks where you're just lying in the tank and everything's very quiet and you're just relaxing and letting it all go. And there is a healing effect from that. Well, think of it like that, but on steroids a bit, right? So you're just relaxing. And what I do is create the space, create the energetic space around you and within you that your body can go, okay, I can deal with this now. I've got the space and the time to deal with this. I can get rid of this. I can chuck this out don't want it anymore in my body, in my system. And that's what happens. Now, the interesting thing about it is, though, that I always get pictures of things happening. And of course, the way our minds work, right, we see things pictorially. And so I'll see all sorts of odd things going on. And I mean, sometimes I might see somebody, maybe they'll present like an archangel coming, like Archangel Michael coming with a mighty sword and clearing out whatever was in this person's system. And I'll say to them afterwards, yeah, I think there was an Archangel Michael was around and doing, and they, oh, yeah, I saw that too. It's extraordinary. You know, or sometimes I'll say, it's almost like you unleashed a dragon. That's what I was seeing while I was lying there, you know, and they go into this kind of trance where they see this stuff as well. It's amazing. It's quite extraordinary. Yeah.
So you're saying they're not seeing these, you're not seeing these things, or you are seeing these things?
I see them in my mind's eye, and they also see them in their mind's eye. So when I say to somebody afterwards, you have a little bit of a debrief, I'll make sure they're okay. How are you feeling? Do you feel better? If they have any pain, how's the pain gone now? Yes or no? Yes, usually. Or maybe there's a little bit lingering. Well, okay, well, we can, you know, deal with that. Because sometimes I do a little bit of shifting, helping the energy shift a little bit.
Okay.
And then, you know, I'll say it's extraordinary because it just seemed like X, Y, or Z was happening. And they'll go, that I saw that. I saw that too in their mind's eye. So it's extraordinary the way that, you know, even though I might be thousands of miles away, we'll see the same things in the process. And I love that because...
In terms of when you're working with somebody, do they have to tell you what their thing is, or do you let them know?
No, they don't talk, and I don't talk.
Okay.
When I'm working with somebody, I say nothing. I focus on holding that energy for them, working through them, noticing anything that's going on in their body. So, you know, and in focusing on that, on noticing that, seeing that shift, move, whatever needs to be done, it gets done. And then I will, as I say, during that process, I will see things come up in my mind's eye, or I'll maybe be looking at the body, the system of the body encased in gold, sort of this gold aura around them as I'm working with them. And I'll see things coming and going through that gold mist that's around them. That's almost like a cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see things moving in and out, you know. And sometimes it's something recognizable, now, like a dragon.
Now, when you work with somebody, how many sessions, I guess it depends on the person and their situation, but tell us about a typical session. What would you do? Somebody comes in and they say nothing, or do they tell you, hey, I've got a kidney stone or something? What do they say?
Well, they'll usually come in and say they have X, Y, or Z wrong with them, or they've just got a sore shoulder, or they've got, you know, or something. And I'll say, okay, you know, I get it. I usually work remotely now. So I'll say, I hope, you know, just make sure that you're comfortable lying down or sitting back in a comfortable chair. And I take them through a relaxation process, which takes a couple of minutes. And then I say, okay, so I'll start. And then from that point forward, I don't say anything until we've come to a point where I think they may well be ready to come back up from a deep trance that they might be in, or a deep, you know, kind of meditative state that they might be in. And I'll then say, how are you? And how is everything? How's your body feeling? And I'll maybe say, I noticed that there was this or there was that, and I worked on your this or your that because something needed to shift there. And they will usually say, oh, yeah, I felt that. I felt that moving. Yeah, that's all great now. Or maybe, oh, there's just still a kind of a lingering odd thing going on.
It sounds like somebody's the person's attitude goes a long way in terms of putting themselves in a position so they can heal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always think that nobody will come to me if they, unless they really want to just, you know, allow themselves to heal. Mm-hmm. There are people in the world, and I've known many of them in my family, for instance, who would rather go to the doctor and take a tablet than actually see me. And, you know, that's even knowing that I can help. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting, the psychology around health and healing.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Tell us about what people can do to live a more healthy, organic life.
Well, it starts with, I think, being careful, or not being careful, but being cognizant of what you are putting into and onto your body and around your body. So I would talk about, or I would recommend organic food. I would recommend reading labels and knowing exactly what you're putting into your body and exactly what those things will do to your body. And if you're cool with that, fine, go ahead and eat it. If you're not, and you don't want whatever you find out these things can cause, then don't eat it. Get something which is a lot purer. Eat locally. Now, not everybody can do that. I'm lucky where I live because I have local organic farms. I have, I don't have a garden where I grow food myself, but I have had in the past couple of years a plot where we shared the growing of vegetables. The best food, the best vegetables are the ones that you pick yourself out of your own garden and that you've grown yourself. Mm-hmm. So, and you can grow food on your windowsill if you live in an apartment or a flat. You can grow all kinds of things on a patio, for instance, in tubs. When I lived in London, I used to grow everything in terracotta pots, mm-hmm. everything, food and everything. So it's looking at where your food's coming from, what your food contains, and aiming for the purest versions available to you. And then also looking at what you put on your body. What kind of cosmetics are you using? Are they full of hormone disruptors? You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Again, being aware of how what you put onto your body, whether it's shower gel or face cream or whatever, deodorant, it can have an effect. Know what's in that product. And where possible, go for the most natural options. Now, when I first started doing this back in the 70s, we didn't have a great deal of natural option. But we do now. We do now. And a lot of people will say, yeah, but what about the expense? It's more expensive. Well, not always. Certainly with cosmetics and that sort of thing these days. Food, maybe. But then maybe we all eat a little too much anyway, and maybe it wouldn't harm us to eat a little less. And, you know, I'm a great proponent of intermittent fasting. I've been doing that for a long time.
Same thing here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's do a little bit of fasting. It's good for you. So there is that. And then, of course, you know, that's the physical. Environmental, we also should look at. You know, I could talk forever about waste and also things like, you know, do you really need to replace furniture every 5 minutes? I know some people who just always have to change their furniture in their house, you know, get new furniture because they're a bit tired of the old stuff. Well, think about it. Your new furniture has probably got some toxins in there that you now need to sort of, you know, really, you're now releasing into the air and needs to really be, you know, got rid of before they're toxin free. Whereas secondhand furniture's already got rid of all the toxins, good and point. It's just as good, mm-hmm. in my opinion. All right.
JJ,
so things like that.
Okay, JJ Stenhouse, the practical alchemist, my special guest on Guys Radio today. I want to ask you about something that most people, it seems like, and particularly in the Western world, they have trouble sleeping. What would be your insights in terms of how people out there can put themselves in a position to get that good night's rest?
Okay, I'll tell you what I've started doing a while back. I switch my phone off. I don't have any devices in the bedroom. I don't have a TV in the. I don't have a TV. But I don't have a TV in the bedroom. I don't have my smartphone in the bedroom. I don't have a computer in the bedroom. I don't have any device in the bedroom. So that will always help you get some rest, because those electromagnetic frequencies really do mess with you. They mess with your brain and they mess with your sleep. Also, light. In Scotland here at the moment, it's sunrise at about 8. I think it was 8:38 in the morning this morning, and it was dark again at 3:30 in the afternoon. We get a lot of darkness in Scotland during the winter. And so we're often using artificial light. I have artificial light on right now. But a good thing to do is to limit the light that you're using towards bedtime. Have a blue light excluder. You can get glasses. You can set your laptop, your computer, your devices to reduce the blue light at a certain hour, so that you're not looking at blue light until you go to bed, which will also help disrupt sleep. Also, you can use a red light at night, and that will also help you, helps your circadian rhythms and helps you get a good night's sleep. And the other things are, you know, just common sense. You know, at a certain age, I think a lot of us just don't drink tea and coffee before we go to bed, because, you know, caffeine's going to keep right. keep you going. So a lot of it is common sense. I also don't eat very much before I go to bed and try to sleep. Usually I have had my main meal by 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. And I'm a night owl. I don't get to bed till about midnight.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also talked about nature, the importance of it. And I think I agree with you completely. Having lived in Manhattan for many years, I noticed as soon as I stepped into Central Park, and I made sure I cut through the park, I walked New York for 30 years. Yeah. And every time I stepped into Central Park, there was a release. It truly is the lungs of the city. And it was so important. Talk to us about how people really need to get out there and get in nature every single day.
Oh, wow. Yeah, absolutely. And I said that I live on the coast in Scotland, and I aim to swim every day as far as I can. We don't swim in the middle of a huge storm, obviously, but we do swim, me and my swimming buddies, every day we can. We immerse ourselves in the water. Now, we live in a beautiful part of the world. There's no two ways about it. We're very lucky in that respect. And that's another thing, gratitude. Feeling gratitude for where you are and what you have is really important. It's very easy for me to feel gratitude every day when I walk outside, because I just look around me. I know that that is not everybody's experience, of course. But getting out into nature is really important. Feeling that connection with nature is really important. For me, immersing myself in the seawater is a fabulous way of doing, just like you say, you know, everything just releases from your body, and you can breathe and feel, oh, okay, yeah. And just merge with that natural world around you. And, you know, delight in seeing dolphins if they pass, or whales, or listening to the seals singing to us. They're not really singing, but we like to say that they're singing. They're usually having a fight because somebody's gone onto somebody else's bit of the rock. But, you know, it's just beautiful. And the seabirds, gorgeous. So that is one way. Getting into any park, you've got Central Park in New York. It's fabulous. We're very lucky here in the UK. We have parks in most towns and cities. Get into the park. Just notice the trees around you, the plants around you, even just the grass. And here's a great thing to do. Take your shoes and socks off and walk barefoot in the park. Do you remember that film?
Sure.
Such a great way of grounding you. Just as the seawater is a great way of grounding you.
Amazing.
And that really helps you. Yeah. Nature is so, listen to the birds, pay attention, watch the squirrels in the park. Yeah. Get to know their habit. It's just, it will fill your heart with absolute wonder and beauty all the time. We don't have to be going hunting in the forests, you know, in the wilderness. Just going into a park is enough.
I think if you just, if anybody just goes up to a tree trunk and you put your left hand on it, yeah, you will feel the energy of that tree.
Absolutely.
Unless you're completely shut down, you will feel that energy. And I think trees, if you tell them, I love you, you know, I think they can hear you. I think that the trees not only can feel us, but I think they can communicate with each other. That's just me. What do you think,
Jay? Oh, I totally agree with you. I've had lots of experiences with trees that some people might think I'm a bit weird to talk about. But, you know, hawthorn trees, I was born in May, and the hawthorn is a tree that's associated with May. And I always feel that the hawthorn gives me a direct link to my ancestors. Mm-hmm. It's like an ancestral telegram or telegraph pole. And so I will do exactly what you're talking about with a hawthorn tree and just tap into any ancestral wisdom. But there's a tree here in Scotland, a yew tree, and it's 5,000 years old, they say. And every time I visit that tree, it's in a place called Fortingall in Glenlyon in Highland, Perthshire. And every time I visit that tree, I do exactly what you're saying. I put my hand on one of the branches and I just allow it to talk to me. And it always does.
Fantastic.
It's such, when you think of what that tree has seen, mm-hmm, it's got such wisdom.
Let's keep that in mind. That's a perfect way to place to close, and a great thought. So JJ Stenhouse, the Practical Alchemist on UK Health Radio and so many other platforms. Tell us where people can learn more about you and your work.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, Practical Alchemy. So you'll find me at thepracticalalchemist.uk. That's one of my websites. Also safehavenhealing.uk. That's another website you'll find me on. You'll find me on Facebook, Instagram as The Practical Alchemist. You will find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, as JJ Stenhouse. And I have a YouTube channel called Alternatively Speaking, and you'll find videos from me on there as well. I think that's about everything.
Fantastic. I think. Well, great to make your acquaintance. I hope you come back and we can kind of trade off. We're both presenters on UK Health Radio, and it's been an absolute pleasure having you here, and so much great practical insights for our audience out there. So thank you, JJ Stenhouse.
Oh, thank you so much.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a fascinating conversation with JJ Stenhouse, a unique individual living in a fishing village in northern Scotland, the Practical Alchemist, and how she has changed her life from kind of, if you will, the mundane into the divine by learning all the modalities that she's an expert in, writing her books, and also just being available for consultation to help us in our on our path to a better, more well-rounded, healthier lifestyle. You know, practical alchemy is really the doing path to absolute beginning, a point where we live wholly in line with nature in a way that's true to our true nature. I know I said that earlier, but it's worth repeating because that's really what JJ is all about. And, you know, modern living is tough. It makes everybody feel like a beginner in a world that's really separates us from nature, and that drains our power. But practical alchemy is truly transformative in its approach, combining energy and system clearing with JJ's approach to coaching and how to strengthen each aspect of our being so we can overcome negative influences access our innate energy, being, and connect to our true core. I know that's a lot and it sounds very conceptual, but basically there's certain steps we can take to really live our best lives. And one of the things that JJ mentioned is our connection to nature, just getting outside, connecting with the trees, connecting with the air, connecting with the sun, and feeling a part of it, because so many of us live in urban landscapes where, you know, we really aren't getting in touch. We're not grounding. We're not really getting in touch with nature. Fortunately, if you live on a coastline, you can get up to the beach or the coastline, take your shoes off, walk around, and can really connect to nature that way. That's a perfect way to do it. I think just getting outside every day is incredibly important. Eating the best foods we can eat, staying away from all those ultra-processed foods that are on the supermarket shelves. You know, you walk through the supermarket and you really have to find where the good stuff is, because so much of it is questionable. There's so many of these seed oils and so many of the packaged goods that we consume and that taste really great and keep us coming back for more. But we have to be careful about the choices we make. And again, anytime we can go back to nature, anytime we can get into meditation, anytime we can kind of slow ourselves down, look inside and see what we can do to live our best lives is only going to help us. And particularly at this time where there's so much going on right now, we really have to take care of ourselves. And if we want to change the world, as you know, the first step is to change ourselves. And the first step to that is looking inside.
Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.